Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
I want to turn your attention to Psalms number 133. God wants me to deal with this and other verses in the Word that highlight and spotlight the benefits of teamwork. Together, everyone accomplishes more. Psalm 133 and verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You may be seated. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, brothers and sisters of the faith, to dwell together in unity. One of the greatest demonstrations of this text in action just appeared a few moments ago, especially in that last song done by the orchestra and the choir. And how masterfully and reverently was it done by many participants that made it seem like one single unit functioning and flowing together. I remember again how as they played and I sat in First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, with some of our deacon ministry members, and how I witnessed how God, according to Psalms, gets glory out of the instruments in their orchestra. And sitting right in that 9,200 seat auditorium, I said, "God," I said, "I'd like to have that kind of qualitative music ministry where you get the glory from every person who participates in the choir and in the orchestra and in the music ministry total." And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, it warmed my heart as I watched Dr. Jackson lead the orchestra, as I watched Reginald lead the choir, as I watched our minister of music lead the ensemble. And in concert together, they made it sound so wonderfully beautiful to God. Amen. What was interesting was that over the orchestra, there was a whole lot of hand movement going on, but the people in the orchestra paid attention to Brother Jackson. On the side of him, not but a few feet away, was Brother Reginald, arm movement going as well. And the choir paid attention to him. And the minister of music and the ensemble were there following instruction with a look and a nod from him, and he's watching all of them. And at every break, they together made the breaks. What was interesting was that they played in unison together. Now, what would have been very clear would have been if someone would have hit a wrong note. It would have stuck out like a sore thumb if everybody weren't together on the same page, on the same line, at the same time, doing the same thing that they were responsible for doing. Each individual part, working together as a whole, made it come out to the glory of God. What a beautiful demonstration. Give God praise. And when we look at the text, brothers and sisters, and our time is far spent, so I'll have to move to them a bit quicker than I'd like to. But the first word tells us, and we start here, because when you look at this text, it's dealing with how to have teamwork within the fellowship. Teamwork in the fellowship. This is talking about brothers and sisters in the faith, brothers and sisters. But this applies in more than one area of life, but we want to begin here because this is talking about, again, teamwork in the fellowship with brothers and sisters of the faith. It says, how good, now look at the word good, and how pleasant, and look at the word pleasant. Good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell, that's a word, compound word, two words, do well. And dwell means to do well together, listen again, in unity. In unity meaning all of us coming together as one. As a finely tuned machine coming together as one. With one common goal, with one common voice. Together, we together make things work. Now when the psalmist starts off here and he's dealing with this, God gets glory out of unified believers. God gets glory. God gets the glory, and when he gets the glory, it is evident through his word that the recipients of his receiving the glory are those who receive the good that comes as a result of God being pleased. When we walk upright before God, when we live right before God, when we do things right before God, no good thing will he withhold from us. That is what he says. When our ways please the Lord, he'll take care of our enemies. We ain't got to worry ourselves about the enemy. So when we begin to understand that if we focus on our part, on our responsibility, on the things that God has called us to do, and especially as we are collectively together doing our part in one common goal, we begin to see how the benefits are much greater for us doing it together than it ever does for one of us singularly trying to do it by ourselves. God has called me to lead this flock. But he never once told me to do it by myself. The Bible says where there is no vision that comes from God through the pastor, the vision, the one vision at a time, or however God chooses in different intervals to give the vision, but it comes through God, through one man who gives the vision to the ministry. Notice here again, where there is no vision, the people perish. But let me give you another reality to that same story. If you flip the script, where there are no people, the vision perish. In other words, where there aren't people doing their responsible and accountable part for and to which God has called and joined them to this ministry to do, the vision perishes. Oh, how easy, how simple, how marvelous and how wonderful we could do work that would just amaze, again, even ourselves at what God could do through us if every one of us, a part of this ministry, did our part. Your part is not just financial. You can give your tithes and you can give your offerings, but if that's all you're doing, I think God called you into the ministry a little more than just to give tithes and offerings. You have a service to give. Now, your service doesn't have to be in church on Sunday mornings. There are more ministries than just service ministries on Sunday mornings. So understand me when I say that you don't have to be a part of the choir or the ushers or the deacon or deaconess ministry or some other organism of this church that works together in a Sunday morning worship to be a part of your ministry. Your ministry may not operate but through Monday through Friday. On occasions when needed or in certain other times that the Holy Ghost dictates. But the truth of the matter is everyone has a ministry in them. The question is, are you connected with your ministry? You know, when people come up to me and say, well, Pastor, I'd like to be a part of such and such, but we don't have it at our church. I say, well, good, because God is obviously putting it on your heart to lead it. One of the things that blessed my heart, one of the first times I had heard this, I'd never experienced it. I was in Louisville at the time, and I'd visited in the National Convention in Los Angeles, and Dr. Hill was alive at that time. And I never shall forget that he got up and he said that he had over 64 ministries operating in his church. I said, 64? I started counting. I think we had about 3 or 4. So where you get all them many ministries from? I said, they just must have a hand-raising ministry. I couldn't even think of ministries that many. But you know what became very clear and apparent as I listened and listened? Ministry simply means to meet needs. So wherever there was a need in the ministry, God had either already provided or was in the process of calling someone to establish that ministry. Then when he began to talk about the ministries and how, you know, they had drug abuse ministries, and he had ex-drug addicts who had been saved and cleansed and living for Jesus to head up those ministries, to deal with those people who had problems and issues with crack and cocaine and whatever the issue was, he put an ex over that who could tell them, I've been where you are. I've sat where you sat. Every time somebody, smokers ministry, ex-smoker, he took an ex-smoker who had been taken, who had kicked the habit and no longer smoked, and put them over there. Because you know there are some Christians who can't wait to get out of church to light up. Smoke and make you ugly, puff your face off. And then don't you hate them when they say you just hang around, I mean, those are some experienced smokers there. They talk and everything, and the ashes don't even fall off the cigarette till they're ready. Don't get mad because you smoke. Kick the habit. Had people who were delivered from sexual perversions. Because you do know that the enemy still tries to deal with saved folk the way they were when they were unsaved. And some ex-gay and lesbian people headed up ex-gay and lesbian ministries to let the people know that's a bondage. And you know what? When you've been saved and set free, you ain't trying to hide. It ain't no big thing because you ain't that no more. It's when you still are you got to hide. Oh, y'all getting quiet on me here. All kinds of everything that they did, it had a focus of meeting needs. And thus a ministry was born to deal with the need that the people have. So many people come here hurting every Sunday morning, but because they are afraid to say what their issues are and their problems are, they leave away from here hurting because they can't trust folk in the ministry. You ought to be able to, and listen again, and that's why you've got to be so serious about ministry work, because you are accountable to God. I want you to hear me well. You are accountable to God for every ministry that you're a part of and represent. Because again, when God gives you that responsibility, connected with that is accountability. And when somebody comes to you with an issue, if you put those people's business out, you're going to deal with God, and you're going to deal with him in a very, 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 very strong way. Somebody come with an issue and they need some help, some instruction, some direction. They don't need their business poured back out into the congregation. They don't need nobody looking at them with their eyes all lifted up like, what you did? With that holier-than-thou pious attitude like they're perfect. You need somebody who said, baby, I know what you've been through. I know what's going on. I thank God you came here. You can get some help from some real person who has been in this situation. Not give them some bogus instruction or some stuff just to get rid of them or some stuff that they can't even identify with.
That's why Christ, who was able to identify with every one of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our sins, our sickness, our everything we went through, and therefore when he counseled us through his word and gave us instructions, it was always out of our need and not just speaking to our need. Nobody can ever feel it like they who have been in that position can feel it. And so if we don't have a ministry here at this church that you have need of, maybe God is calling you to lead that ministry. Because you'll be surprised how many other folk are in the same position you're in. And there's no need, because God has given us and equipped us with everything we need to minister to the body of Christ. Listen again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Now underscore brethren, because it's talking about brothers and sisters of the fellowship. The fellowship, that's important, the fellowship. I want you to see something else, because when you understand this, let's go to Matthew 18 and 19 right quick. Matthew 18 and 19. Now, this is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter edition, you'll see it. And I want you to see what Jesus says. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching what?
Anything.
Not something. Anything. That they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where? How many?
Two
or three are gathered. Now everybody who's gathered aren't together. So the word says gathered, which is a coming together, and then being together on one accord. Gathered together in my name. That is the qualifier that joins them together, his name. The power is in his name. The promises are in his name. The provisions are in his name. On and on and on. It's in his name that we are brothers and sisters. Joined unto the Father. Now look again at what he says. There am I in the midst of two or three who are joined together in the same place with the same purpose and on one accord. Jesus is not a part of confusion. Somebody didn't hear me yet. I said Jesus is not a part of. You can have two people or three people together, but if those two or three people are not together, he's not coming in the midst of. He is not the author of confusion. It's not until those two or three come together that he joins himself as they are there in his name. His name evokes his presence. So when you've got two or three people together calling his name, touching, joining together on the common bond, goal, or issue, Jesus said, now I can get in that. And he is what completes that gathering of one accord. Now again, we're talking about the fellowship among fellow servants, brothers and sisters. I want you to turn, if you don't mind, to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now look at what Mark chapter 16 says. Verse 19 and 20. 20 is the focus of our thought here. But verse 19 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. But here's verse 20. And they went forth. And they, brothers and sisters, saints, disciples, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Listen now. And confirming the word with signs following. Amen. When they left the place and Jesus left them from where they were, they went together. On one accord, with one word, with the purpose of preaching that word and delivering that word the way Jesus would desire them. Now notice this. When they went together, they preached everywhere
the Lord working with them. Because it said they were on one accord, they were joined together, they were in unison and unity together, and God joins that kind of connection. So if we lead by example, that means then we follow His example, and He's left the best example of how to follow the Father and be on one accord with the Father. So shall we be together on one accord, and that same reality is what invites Him into our situation. Look again, I want you to see something else. As you begin to understand this, not only do we see this operation among fellow servants, but you see this teamwork also among family. Let's turn to Amos, if you don't mind. Chapter 3, verse 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Now you see teamwork among family. This is relationship and family. Now look at what it says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now listen at this. Can two walk together except they be agreed, unless they agree on the same direction, on the same destination? They cannot walk together in harmony, in unison, in fellowship, unless they both want to go to the same place. It's difficult to get in the same car and want to go in two different directions and be at peace on the ride. Somebody don't hear me. But when we all want to go to the same place, you can rest while the driver's driving, knowing that every minute you sleep, you're 1 minute closer to your destination, and it's where you want to be, it's where the driver wants to be, and everybody in the car is happy, and ain't nobody, even if you do wake, you know, go to sleep and wake up and say, are we there yet? And go back to sleep. No, not yet. You, because you know when the end is there, you're all going to be where you want to be together. How can you walk together except you be agreed? Now listen at this, because how do you agree? I'm glad you asked. There are three things that must be a part of walking together. The first thing is communication. All right. Communication. Now listen at this. Communication is important because what you say to the other person who is going to be walking with you is, this is where I'd like to end up at. What about you? And that other person say, yeah, that's what I got my eyes on too. Then you say, fine. Then you start determine first where you want to go. And then after you agree on where you want to go, the second thing you decide is how you're going to get there. How you going to get there? What mode or means of travel, what vehicle are you going to use to obtain, to reach, to make it to your goal? And then you've got to determine, once you get there, what you're going to do now that you made it there. Communicate. Communicate. But the second thing you've got to know is that if it's two of you, you have two different minds that must be bended and blended to be as one mind. So then the next thing you got to do is compromise. Say compromise. Because if you're walking with somebody else, it can't always be about you. When there's somebody else, there is somebody else to consider in this communication. So that means then their opinion matters, how they feel matters, what they want matters, and so you all have got to compromise on every issue so that the journey is comfortable between you. And here's what helped you to agree to make it to where you're going, which is the third point. You've got to commit. Commit. So you've got to communicate, you've got to compromise, and you've got to commit to walking together. Got to commit to walking together. Now listen at this. I want you to back up, if you don't mind, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs. Proverbs is right after Psalms. I know y'all don't read Ecclesiastes every day.
Some of y'all are trying to say amen looking through the... Let me see what page number that is. Whoo, how you spell that? E-C-C-E. That's right, Pastor. Call them out. Call them out, Pastor. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Now look at what verse 9 says. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one. I don't care how much you are by yourself, with the right person on the side of you in teamwork, you are greater than one. Understand, you got to get out of that me, my mentality. Because listen, it takes more to consider somebody else other than yourself. And listen at this, you got to have somebody that you can work with and that can work with you. How many of you know everybody can't work together? Now sometime again, what we don't understand is God, when he matches people together, he matches them again so that they will be a balanced couple. See, in other words, you know, if you're going to walk together and you got one thing and you need another thing, you don't need to get somebody who got the same thing you got and both of y'all need something else. You know, I told the service earlier, I quoted a brother, but I called the wrong brother name off, who said, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. You got to have something. Now, he ain't say you had to have money. He said you got to have something. And what I was bringing out and making clear was, if I can go out and make the money, then go buy the grocery, at least you ought to be able to cook it up and make it taste good. Nothing from nothing leave nothing. Now for some of you so holier than folk, old time folk, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Because if you got any sense, you looking for somebody with something that will bring balance to your situation. Several people after earlier service came and asked me a question, and said, Pastor, you preaching a whole lot about togetherness and about two and... You know, first thing I wanted to say was, mind your business, please. That ain't even none of your business what you're trying to ask me. But since they asked... That's all right. Let me get back to the text. Listen, I'm talking the word. Now, wherever you want to go with it, because it works in all areas, all arenas, listen again at what the word says. It says, two are better than one. This is the word of God. I don't care how much you are by yourself, the right person on the other side of you makes it better. It says, because they have a good reward for their labor. Now, if they're working together, both of them are working together. They may be doing two different jobs, but the two different jobs are working for one common good. One is doing what is necessary in this arena, the other is doing what's necessary in that arena, but it's all together for one common good. Look again at what this word says. It says in verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow or companion, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now look at this again. If two are together, the word says they might fall. Because if one trips and they're walking together and working together, there's another one to catch them and prop them many times before they ever hit the ground. Have you ever been walking with someone and they tripped and you were right there to grab them and say, I got you? You ain't even had to say it. They looked at you like, oh, I'm so glad you were right there. But then have you ever been walking by yourself, nobody's with you, and you trip, and you either fell or almost about to fall, and then because you embarrassed because you ain't had no help, you looking around looking like... Because you're in bad. You don't want to look, because if you hit the flow, you're going to get.